Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
This is Karen's yard, and summer's harsh heat has taken a toll on it. But Karen knows it's fall, the best time of the year to grow grass and repair the damage from summer. So she reaches for Scott's Turf Builder grass seed, so she can grow quicker, thicker, greener grass, guaranteed. Its unique coating helps keep seeds moist while nutrients feed them, so Karen gets lush, green grass this fall. This is a Scott's yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Turf Builder grass seed today.
I'm Kyle Montgomery with the NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Tyler Eifert is done for the year. Bengals Pro Bowl tight end has opted for season-ending back surgery after meeting with a spinal specialist. He's played in just 10 games for Cincy over the past 2 years. Elsewhere, Adrian Peterson practiced for the first time as a Cardinal Wednesday, and he won't be eased into the action. Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians says the recently acquired AP will start on Sunday and get a full workload. Tom Brady did not practice for the second straight day Wednesday due to a left shoulder sprain, but the Patriots QB says he isn't worried about the injury and he'll play on Sunday. Other injury updates for you. No Sam Bradford practiced for the Vikings due to a sore knee, but both Atlanta's Vic Beasley and Dallas's Sean Lee returned to practice after both missed the past 2 games with hamstring injuries. And injuries will keep Philly's Lane Johnson and Carolina's Ryan Khalil out Thursday night as the Panthers and Eagles do battle live on NFL Network. That coverage starts at 6 Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Napa Know-How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to GEICO. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidge Woman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidge Woman, GEICO retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidge Woman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save.
Welcome back in, 5:05. It's hour number two, the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And at that point, you're either going to get Thursday night NFL action between the Eagles and the Panthers, or you're going to get Game 5 of the National League Divisional Series between the Chicago Cubs and the Washington Nationals. The series has shifted back to D.C. for a do-or-die Game 5 tonight. It is Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Cubs and Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals. And I have to admit, even though I'm extremely nervous for tonight, I love Game 5s because it's all hands on deck. Joe Maddon's already said it's going to be Jose Quintana coming in out of the bullpen. If Hendricks struggles early, chaos. And as a baseball fan, I love it. Now I'm hoping to see Washington be the team that struggles tonight and not the Cubs, but we'll see. 7 o'clock coming your way on 1600 AM. We'll have the ESPN feed. Plenty more to come. We're going to talk a little college football with Jake Trotter of ESPN.com at the bottom of the hour. It's Thursday as well, which means Woodja will kick off hour number three. But right now, pleased to be joined by Rich Cohen on the phone. He's got a brand new book out. Tremendous author, really tremendous author. And I do mean that. The book is the Chicago Cubs, The Story of a Curse. He's also written about the Bears. He's got some other books. Rich, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And are you, you got to be as nervous as I am tonight for Game 5.
I'm a nervous wreck. You know, my whole life as a Cubs fan has taught me to be extremely nervous in these situations. And it also just, it's crazy because you play this very long season and this whole thing comes down to one game where so much can happen that's just happenstance, you know, but on paper, I think it looks good.
You write about this in the book. Your father, right, was a Yankees fan, and he told you don't become a Cubs fan, and you didn't listen to your father.
No, he said after my first Cubs game, which he took me to, that first he said that team will ruin your life. Then he said a Cubs fan will have a worse life because a Cubs fan will expect all human endeavor to end in defeat, but of lower expectations will accept less. And, of course, I became a Cubs fan, and, of course, he was 100% right and 100% wrong.
Now, Rich, you touch on a bunch of things in this book, but several of the things are the near misses that this team has had over a long period of time. Do one or two stick out above the rest?
Yeah, well, for me personally, 1984, because I was a sophomore in high school. I had yet to be wounded, you know, by the Cubs. I was to me, the team had, you know, been bad, and I watched them get better, and I watched Dallas Green build that great 84 Cubs team. And I remember having a fight with my father that summer where I told him it was too soon to say, but it seemed to me that Bob Dernier would probably be a better center fielder than Joe DiMaggio. So that's how gone I was for that team. And then when they went out with a 2-0 lead in a 5-game series, leads in all three games and dropped 3 straight to what I thought was a pretty mediocre Padres team, that was just crushing for me.
It's funny you bring up Bobby Dernier. We actually ran into him in Chicago on my bachelor party. So I've got a picture of me and Bobby Dernier from my bachelor party. For me, it was 89. Nice. I still can't look at Will Clark and not think about the heartbreak in 1989. And that's the special part about being a Cubs fan up until last year, is we all had that one year where it broke our hearts. But you touch a great deal in the book about the journey of the 2016 season. What was it like for you to be there during the postseason and watching that all unfold? I know I love the anecdote about you showing up to get the press credential and you were wearing your Cubs hat.
Well, I showed up, you know, I'm not really like a sports writer normally, though I have written a lot about sports, and I had these Sports Illustrated got me a credential, and I showed up in my Cubs hat, and the woman at the media window said, "Take that off." And I said, "Take what off?" And she said, "The Cubs hat." I said, "Why?" She said, "You're the press. You're supposed to be neutral." I said, "Well, I haven't been neutral since I was 10 years old." She said, "Well, you can't take it off. You know, you can't get the credential if you don't take it off." And I kind of went in without my Cubs hat on, feeling kind of naked. And I ran into Theo Epstein, who I'd met that night. And I said, "They made me take my Cubs hat off." He said, "Well, take a security blanket. Just keep it hidden in your lap and squeeze it if we get in trouble."
What was your favorite part about that run last season?
I mean, I think I keep thinking about this tonight, which is weirdly, when I went back, I don't live in Chicago anymore, and I went from a little airport on the East Coast to fly back for games, you know, three, four, five. And all the people going in the airport, going on the flight, were all Cubs fans, all going for the same reason. It was like the exiles return. This is an incredibly great communal feeling. You didn't even have to talk to anybody. Just kind of looked at each other and nodded. And then going to Wrigley Field, and it was like Wrigley Field just surrounded with people who, like, brought their grandparents' ashes. And I always thought that weighed on the Cubs, because they had to come through that and know that this isn't just another baseball game or another series for these people. It's everything. And that's why I thought when they got to Cleveland, because I went there to see those games, they played so much looser and better outside of Wrigley Field because, like, the weight of the world is removed from them, and I'm kind of hoping that happens tonight.
Now, Rich, you touch on a lot of the former Cubs players and former Cubs legends, but did any anecdote about some of these players surprise you or surprise readers the most?
There were so many great Cubs, you know. I mean, one of the things is Hack Wilson, who I'd always heard of because he hit 191 RBIs, a record that'll probably never be broken. He was 5'6", but had these gigantic shoulders and little tiny feet. And he was like a pocket-sized Babe Ruth. And I know he had this one great season, but I didn't realize is the season was almost a response to the World Series where the Cubs played the Philadelphia Athletics, and he was a center fielder, and they had a good chance to win, and he made 2 huge errors. in one inning. He lost the ball in the sun twice. It was Schwarber-like, you know. And he came back to Chicago just in tears. And he was surrounded by the media, and he said, "Let me alone now, boys." You know, and they, Joe McCarthy was the manager of the Cubs, and they asked him about it. And to me, he was very Joe Madden-like because he said, "Look, what do you want? He lost the ball in the sun, and he didn't put the sun up there." And he almost responded to that by coming back with this otherworldly season that'll never be matched.
Talking Cubs baseball with Rich Cohen. He's got a brand new book out called The Chicago Cubs, Story of a Curse. You do spend a great deal of time on the Billy Goat curse and Sam Sianis in the book. What other aspects of Cubs lore did you buy into as a Cubs fan growing up? Because everybody is, we all heard about it, the Goat curse, the Black Cat in 69 with Santo, and then, as you said, 84 with Leon Durham and the glove and the Gatorade and all of that stuff.
Right. Well, I never believed in, you know, a magical curse. But what I did believe in was that there was something funny going on. And when I interviewed Ernie Banks, I got one of the last people to interview him, actually, for Sports Illustrated. And I said to him, "What is the curse? Is there a curse?" And he said, "You know what the curse is? The curse is just fear. You know, when you haven't won in so long and your team hasn't won in so many decades, there's fear. You know, it's this need to win defeats itself. And it becomes like this self-fulfilling thing, and you don't get in the big game, and you don't really know how to play when you get there." And he told me a story, which I always think about, but I didn't even put it in the piece, where he said he was really good friends with Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron was playing at Wrigley Field. He was on first base. Banks was a first baseman. And Banks said, "It looks like we're going to win." And Hank Aaron said, "Wait till September and see the pressure you feel then. Then you'll find out if you're a championship team." And something that Tom Ricketts said to me is why he thought the Cubs never won in all those years is because you build your team to win over 162 games. You get to the playoffs, and it's just a crapshoot. It's a 1-in-8 shot, depending on some luck. And in order to win the World Series, the key is to go back to the postseason with the same team multiple times. And the Cubs, in all those years, you mentioned 89, 84, they never went back two seasons in a row. They gave themselves really long odds. This time they went 2015, 2016, 2017, and it's made all the difference. And the players had the experience of the big games, which also makes a big difference.
Did just how bad a shape the franchise was in when Tom Ricketts took over, did that catch you by surprise at all, or were you aware of that?
You know, after the Bartman game, I was so upset by the Bartman game that I sort of like, said, "I can't do this anymore. This is like, I have kids now. I can't be spending every day of the summer like losing my mind." So I sort of stopped paying incredibly close attention and only really plugged back into them like in that minute attention way when Theo Epstein came back. So I was surprised, you know, I was surprised by how much the Tribune Company had let the whole thing fall apart, not just the team, but even Wrigley Field and what was going on at Wrigley Field. And it's interesting because Ricketts told me that if the Cubs had won the World Series, he wouldn't want to buy the franchise. It was the drought and the curse that made it attractive to him, because he knows that whoever was the owner, general manager, and players to finally break that curse would sort of reach a legendary status in Chicago they'd take all through their lives.
All right, Rich, you and I are going to a game at Wrigley Field. What's the first thing that you do when you walk in through the gates?
I just watch the players playing long toss. That's still my favorite thing. Just to see the beautiful Wrigley Field, to see a center fielder and a left fielder throwing the ball the way they do, I always thought if I could ever do anything that.
I think we, did we lose Rich there?
No.
Oh.
You didn't lose me.
Sorry. We couldn't hear you there. I apologize for that.
I don't know if you heard my answer or not.
I heard the long toss and left field.
Yeah, the long toss. And then, of course, I'd get myself a Frosty Malt.
Okay, there we go. I was going to say.
Got to start out with a beer.
Got to get the old style. It's still on one tap down the third baseline. The book is fantastic. And here's what I like about this, Rich, is it's not necessarily new ground, because people that know the Cubs know the history. but it's how you present it. And your writing is very easy to consume. And I really appreciate having an opportunity to chat with you tonight. I've got my fingers crossed that we're going to see the Cubs win tonight and take on the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series. But we'll see. Any future projects? What's the next book that you'd like to write?
I don't really know. I'm sort of thinking about it now. You know, basically, if it's something that I was really into as a kid, I'm probably still into it now. So I've written books about the 85 Bears and the Rolling Stones and now this. Those are my last three books. So those are all things I loved when I was 12 years old. I mean, one thing I do want to, I keep telling myself is even if the Cubs, God forbid, don't win this game, I can't be irritated at this team because this team broke the curse and I don't want to forget that.
Thank you. I've been trying to tell people that all year. This is the buffer year.
Yeah.
Get mad in 2018, but 2017, hey,
yeah,
they just won it. Hey, Rich, we appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. The book is fantastic. We really do love it.
All right, thanks. Great talking.
Rich Cohen, the author of The Chicago Cubs, The Story of a Curse. It's available now, and I do highly recommend it. There are a ton of Cubs books out there. We talked to Dave Kaplan about his book, The Plan. Tom Verducci's got a book out, The Cubs Way. I've read them all. They're all entertaining. And Rich's is really good because especially his goes into the history and not just the traditional history of the Billy Goat Curse and all of that, but way back to the beginning of the franchise and right up through last year. And he was there for most of that postseason run, including showing up with his Cubs hat on, which I laugh at because I've been in enough press boxes to know that's probably not even the top 10 worst things that I can imagine seeing, somebody wearing a Cubs hat in the press box at Wrigley Field, but funny nonetheless. So if you're a Cubs fan, buy the book. Heck, Christmas is right around the corner, right?
No, not really.
It sort of is.
It sort of is.
Look,
I'm just saying this because I don't want you tempting people to put up Christmas lights already because I know someone's going to do it.
Dude, go to like Target and Walmart. And I was at Costco a couple weeks ago. The Christmas stuff, the wrapping paper, and the decorations are already out. Halloween has not even arrived yet, and the Christmas decorations are out.
I enjoy that season as much as anyone, but I feel like summer just ended. Christmas time and holiday time has not arrived yet. I'm sorry to break it to people.
Joe Maddon said he had two lineups written down tonight. One if the Nationals were starting Tanner Roark, and one if it was Gio Gonzalez. So he'll be rolling with the Gio Gonzalez lineup tonight. Our poll question today at KGYMradio.com is Cubs-related. Will they advance to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, yes or no? Poll questions brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot, and you better believe they'll have their TV sets tuned to TBS tonight for the pivotal Game 5. Somebody on the text line, I think it was Tone maybe, said he thought I would be joining him on the sidelines. He's a Red Sox fan. For the record, at the beginning of the postseason, I said Washington was going to win the series. And then Game 1 happened, and I let the fan take over inside me. And I bought in. And then Game 2, and I was like, oh, man, they were one swing away from being up 2-0. Yeah, they got this. You know, ask an Indians fan how that works out. So we'll see. We'll see how things play out tonight. I'm looking forward to it. And if you're a Cubs fan, you can hear the ESPN national broadcast on 1600 AM tonight. FM frequency listeners, 106.3, 107.5. You're going to get Thursday Night Football with the Eagles and the Panthers tonight. 5:21, take a quick break. We will come back. We got Jake Trotter of ESPN.com coming up in about 12 minutes to talk Big 12 football with us. More on the way after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team raised their record to a perfect 7-0 for the year and clinched a postseason berth with a hard-fought 20-14 win over previously unbeaten Waverly Shell Rock last Friday night. The top-rated Saints got a pair of fourth-quarter touchdowns to down the Gohawks. Quinn Schulte threw for two scores, one to Jax Jungi and the other to Kyle Mader, while kicker Ben Conrad connected on two big field goals. The Saints will try to claim the outright district title at Vinton Shellsburg tomorrow night. The Xavier volleyball team defeated fellow 42nd Street foe Kennedy 3-0 on Tuesday night. The Xavier boys golf team finished the season with an 8th place finish at the Class 4A Boyd State Golf Tournament last weekend. The Saints were led by senior Brad Karpik with a 6 over par 146 for the 2 days.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from the chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition. The certain sound of chattering children in costume on Halloween, or the gathering round the table for a magnificent turkey dinner. There are things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin and Stocker as a family business, true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising in these modern times, they still offer a layaway program. Put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. During the fall, as you enjoy your family's traditions and begin holiday shopping, walk by and see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids. And Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
I realize I've probably said a number of things to get under Alex's skin in the past, but you're really taking exception to me saying the phrase, Christmas is right around the corner.
Well, it's not just you. It's the sentiment that I'm feeling from everyone, including Hockey Guy on the text line, who alerts me that a certain store in Iowa City converted their garden center to Christmas stock a month ago. A month ago, it was 95 degrees out.
Well, yeah, but this is Iowa. It could have been 95 yesterday and 20 today.
Know,
the weather changes on a dime.
Which is why Christmas isn't right around the corner.
Is Christmas right around the corner? Text line 319-366-1600. Please inform Alex that yes, Christmas is indeed right around the corner.
Or you can vote.
Thanksgiving and Halloween no longer count. It is 4th of July, and then you just start counting down the days until Christmas is right around the corner.
You can vote on my Twitter poll, the first Twitter poll I have ever done, @AlexKuhn523.
First Twitter poll ever.
Ever.
And you've decided that you're going to dedicate it. This is the hill that you're going to die on.
I guess so.
Well, yes, Christmas is right around the corner. The text line is letting you know that right now. Well, no, 9406 says not until Thanksgiving. That's like 25 years ago thinking.
Nick and Cedar Rapids, can we get through Halloween and Thanksgiving first, please?
Hey, I'm right there with you. But, you know, when you're going and they've already got the Halloween candy, like, stashed off in the corner, and the red and green stuff is making an appearance everywhere, that's not a battle you're going to win. Christmas is right around the corner, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. It is October 12th.
Colin says, I'm with Kuhn.
We got to get T-shirts made up that say "I'm with Kuhn." Just put the KGYM logo on the back of them. I think we could.
I would.
I think we'd make a mint off them. 527, here's what we need to do. Let's go to Kyle for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, they've got over 40 locations across the corridor area for your banking needs.
The University of Iowa put the finishing touches on its schedule for the 2020 football season and announced today the addition of a game with Northern Iowa. The Hawkeyes will open the season hosting the Panthers at Kinnick on September 5th, will host Iowa State the following week, and then have their first conference game in Week 3 at Minnesota. The Iowa baseball team is playing the Black and Gold World Series yesterday, today, and potentially tomorrow if a Game 3 is necessary. The black team took Game 1 last night 3-2, thanks largely to five pitchers combining for a no-hitter. They still made time to issue 10 walks. For reference, that would tie the Major League record for most walks in a no-hitter. They're playing Game 2 right now at Duane Banks Field. An injury update from Ames. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell says that linebacker Willie Harvey is somewhere between questionable and probable for Saturday's game against Kansas. Harvey's fifth on the team with 31 tackles and tied for second with 2.5 sacks and a pick. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Thursday night football between the Eagles and Panthers. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. But more importantly, we're going to have the win-or-die Game 5 between the Cubs and Nationals in Washington. The Cubs throw Kyle Hendricks, who threw 7 scoreless innings in a Game 1 victory, and the Nationals will start Gio Gonzalez, who gave up 3 runs in 5 innings in Game 2. That's going to be right here on 1600 AM, the historic main gym.
Jason on the text line says science is on his side, considering Christmas is in the 12th month of the year and we are halfway through the 10th month. Yes, definitely Christmas is right around the corner.
So do you say that Easter's right around the corner in early February?
Absolutely. Because it can be early March, right? Easter floats.
That's true. Year. I always think that it's going to be in early April.
See?
Okay, fine. In late January, are you saying that?
Borderline. It's borderline. We're going to talk Big 12 football with Jake Trotter next. Interesting rumor floating around there. Bob Stoops says he thinks Arkansas would be a good fit for the Big 12. We'll ask Jake his opinion on that and more when he joins us next. You're listening to KGYM.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP, BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Play a bit too rough at the weekend tailgate? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals today rules in favor of the NFL, possibly clearing the way for a 6-game suspension of Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott over domestic violence allegations. Now, Elliott's side could appeal. The Cowboys don't play again until a week from Sunday. Carson Wentz and Cam Newton are both coming off big games and wins on Sunday. The Eagles and Panthers both 4-1 and both leading their divisions as they get set to kick off Week 6 tonight in Charlotte. The Washington Nationals get tonight's NLDS Game 5 at home, but they're fighting history as they play this winner-take-all matchup against the Cubs. The Nats have never won in this situation, and they're facing Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks, who has a 1.98 ERA in the postseason. That's fourth best all time. Washington goes with Gio Gonzalez. 7:30 for the coverage Eastern time here on ESPN Radio. The NBA hires Michelle Johnson, a retired Air Force general, as the new senior vice president in charge of referee operations.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Join the Coach's Corner Sports Pub and Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub for their annual golf classic this Saturday at Finkbine Golf Course. This two-person shamble tees up with a 10 a.m. shotgun start. Plus, there'll be food, drinks, prizes, a live and silent auction, and music after. Sign up today at Coach's Corner Sports Pub on Mormon Truck Boulevard or Carl and Ernie's on Highway 1 in Iowa City. Brought to you by Budweiser, 7G Distributing, Zephyr Printing and Design, BillionAuto.com, Two Rivers Bank, and your favorite Linksters here at KGYM.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
This is Hal's Yard as Halloween approaches, and summer's harsh heat has turned his lawn into a virtual cemetery. But Hal knows fall is the best time to feed his lawn and repair those scary thin brown patches. So he reaches for Scott's Turf Builder WinterGuard Fall Lawn Food. It feeds and replenishes nutrients. Roots grow deeper and stronger. So next spring, Hal's grass grows thicker and greener. Guaranteed. This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's WinterGuard today.
5:34, and bad news for Alex. During the break, I talked to everybody I could find in the building, and it was unanimous. Christmas is right around the corner. Now, the text line
and my Twitter poll beg to differ from everybody here in the building, allegedly. 69% of the vote coming in on no so far.
Well, I mean, it's after 5 o'clock. There aren't a ton of people left in the building, but the ones that I did talk to said yes. As a matter of fact, Rick Swan, right across the hall at Rob FM, very casually answered, "Well, yes, of course it is. Christmas is right around the corner." 319-366-1600, that's the Hertine and Stocker text line. Woodja is on the way tonight to kick off hour number three. Plus, we've got an opportunity for you to support Big Brothers and Big Sisters during Iowa's road trip to Evanston next week. You'd watch the Hawkeyes and Wildcats from a suite at Kinnick Stadium. We've got some free tickets for that event coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, though, we turn our attention back to college football and bring Jake Trotter on board from ESPN.com. And, Jake, I want to start in Big 12 country, where you're very familiar with Oklahoma and Iowa State last week. What was your reaction when you saw the final score in Norman?
Yeah, I was stunned. I don't think anybody obviously saw that coming. That was the biggest upset that OU had suffered going back 40 years. And the way Iowa State had struggled offensively, the fact that they didn't even have their starting quarterback, the fact that they were going to have to play inside linebacker Joel Lanning behind center at times, you just didn't think there was any way that that was going to happen, but it did. And I think it showed that, you know, Iowa State is maybe better than people thought. They're not that far away, guys, when you think about it, from being undefeated. I mean, they were right there. Ahead of Iowa. You know, the Hawkeyes go the length of the field to win that game. And then, you know, they played Texas really tough. If they got any quarterback playing that game, they probably would have won. So maybe Iowa State is maybe a little bit better than people thought. And on the other hand, Oklahoma, you know, they were near perfect against Ohio State, especially in that second half. They've been very
unimpressive since then. And I think that's a really bad sign for them going into a game that's probably going to determine whether this is a potentially successful or a very disappointing first season for Lincoln Riley.
Does this knock Oklahoma out of playoff contention?
No, because they have a chance to win 12 games because of the Big 12 championship. They have the best non-conference win of anybody in college football with the victory in Columbus. And, you know, they've got some big games coming up. They still got to go to Stillwater. Oklahoma State could be in the top 10 by the time they circle around to Bedlam. They still got TCU, who's a top 10 team, coming to Norman November 11th. And they got the Big 12 championship. So, I mean, the Big 12 is actually better than it has been in a long time in terms of the depth of the conference. And I think the committee is going to recognize that, hey, you know, West Virginia is a pretty good team. Texas Tech, and that's a pretty good team. Texas is better than they've been. So they obviously have no margin for error, but they have a shot still.
You've also got Texas on the horizon this weekend, the Red River shootout, Red River rivalry, whatever you want to call it. Do you see Oklahoma bouncing back with a win over the Longhorns?
Oh, I've retired from trying to predict the Red River showdown. I mean, it's literally like four out of the last seven games in Dallas. You're just completely stunned by what happens. You know, Case McCoy basically becoming his brother out of nowhere. You know, we've seen Oklahoma come up with some stunners. You know, 1996, they were 0-4 and beat a heavily favored Texas team. So, especially with these two teams this year, where they have been all over the place, it's very difficult to say. I'm going to pick OU to win and Texas to cover and be very tentative about it.
Which storyline has registered more nationally? Has it been David Sills, the wide receiver from West Virginia, who committed to USC when he's 13, coming back to West Virginia again and having a near All-American type first half of the season, or Joel Lanning switching from quarterback and playing linebacker at a high level and really helping this Iowa State team beat Oklahoma?
Well, I think that the David Sills story, you know, I did a big piece on him last week for ESPN and have something in the magazine as well coming out on him in the next edition. And I think, like, over the course of the season, he's going to be probably the bigger story. But right now, in over the weekend, it was Joel Lanning. I mean, the Iron Man of college football. You know, we've seen guys go both ways. I mean, I don't think that's abnormal. But usually it's a cornerback and a wide receiver. Or you know, maybe somebody who's like a linebacker and a running back. We have never seen an inside linebacker play quarterback. I mean, I can't remember the last time that has happened. You know, I remember Donovan Woods went from quarterback to linebacker at Oklahoma State in 04, but he was an outside linebacker. It's a little bit different when you're the guy in the middle, the Mike. And, you know, he's definitely matched the physicality of the position and done a fantastic job for them.
Talking a little college football with Jake Trotter from ESPN.com. Where is this Arkansas and Big 12 talk coming from? I know Bob Stoops brought it up. Okay, Bob Stoops is the genesis. Okay.
Yeah. He said Arkansas would be a good fit for the Big 12, and everybody freaked out, as people tend to do when conference realignment talk comes up.
Did you expect the Baylor rebuild with Matt Rhule to get as slow of a start as it has?
Kind of. I didn't think they'd be winless. I mean, I obviously thought they'd beat Liberty and probably UTSA, but they did not have the firepower at receiver coming into the season. Now, Denzel Mims has done a good job for them, but, I mean, there was no Corey Coleman. There was no Kendall Wright back there. You know, they are nowhere near what they've been on the offensive line. And, you know, defensively, there's maybe one first or second team All Big 12 caliber guy in Taylor Young. So I actually did. I picked Baylor pretty low, and I think I had them in the eighth in my preseason Big 12 poll. And you know, they're probably the ninth best team right now.
Which team has been the biggest surprise in the Big 12 this year so far for you?
TCU. I mean, they're. Now, we thought they had a chance to be good, but they were fringe top 25, and now they're undefeated. And you know, they have a really big road win in Stillwater. The win in Arkansas was nice. even though Arkansas is down. You know, they won 28-7. So TCU's been the biggest surprise, and I think Kenny Hill's been maybe the biggest surprise at quarterback. You know, just the way he's been able to convert third down and then make big plays for them.
With Oklahoma losing to Iowa State, can Oklahoma State climb their way back into the conference championship discussion and the college football playoff discussion?
Yeah, I think both teams have a chance to get there. I mean, Oklahoma State especially, you know, they lost to TCU. The committee's not going to hold that against them, and they really won't hold it against them if Oklahoma State can get to the Big 12 championship game unscathed and then beat an undefeated TCU that would probably be ranked third or fourth in the country at that point. I think that would be enough for them. You know, they don't have the great non-conference win because Pitt is a disaster, but again, you have 10 conference wins, or nine, I guess it would be nine conference wins in the case of OSU. That's a lot, and I think that would override, you know, the fact that Oklahoma State doesn't have a great non-conference win.
What are your thoughts on how the Tom Herman era in Austin has begun?
I think it's on the right track. They have an identity. You know, they're going to play great defense. They're going to run their quarterback. You know, they're not great on the offensive line with Connor Williams. They can't run the ball otherwise with the running backs. And, you know, they've been a little bit uneven at times defensively, but I like the talent on that side of the ball. Deshaun Elliott's having a great year. Malik Jefferson's having a great year. You know, we'll kind of find out this weekend sort of what this team is made of, win or lose, but I do think that they're on the right track. They're recruiting well. They've got good young players, and if Ellinger turns out to be the real deal quarterback, and I think he has a chance to, then, hey, 2018, Texas could be a factor in the Big 12 title race. I mean, they're already on paper a factor, but I think they could be the preseason favorite to win the Big 12 in 2018 if they close strong.
Circling back around to Iowa State for just 1 second, is this a team this year that can make a bowl game and get to that six-win plateau?
Sure. They've got 3 wins. If they win this, right, that's 3 wins, right?
Yes.
Did I have that right? They have 3 wins.
Yes,
right?
3-2.
They have 3 wins. If they beat Kansas, that's 4. And then they just have to, you know, beat Baylor and somebody else. Yeah, they can get to, I mean, I think they will get to 6 wins based on what I've seen so far. Now, they've got to play well this weekend and not let, you know, the Oklahoma game come back and beat them, you know, off an emotional high. But, you know, that's a good defensive team. You know, Montgomery's a terrific running back. You know, they need to do a better job, I think, of getting Lazard more involved. You know, they did a good job, obviously, in the clutch at Oklahoma. But, you know, he's a top five, top three wideout in the Big 12. And, you know, that's a guy that should be, you know, a 1,200-yard type receiver. And you know, he's been a little bit underwhelming until he came up big at Oklahoma. So if they can just figure out some things offensively, I think they will win 6 games.
Jake, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time.
Okay, guys.
Jake Trotter, ESPN.com. I don't know whether there's anything to that Arkansas talk or not, or whether Bob Stoops was just trying to stir the pot, but kind of interesting to see people's reactions to that talk of Arkansas leaving the SEC. There's actually a case to be made that maybe it wouldn't be that bad of an idea. But, you know, it's tough to walk away from the SEC. Now, it's also tough to walk away from the Big Ten. And one story we haven't even mentioned a whole lot, but it's starting to bubble to the surface. But Texas A&M is reportedly looking to make a run at Penn State's James Franklin. If you're James Franklin, would you leave Penn State for Texas A&M for anything other than a significant amount of money?
No. I mean, there's nothing about that program at its current state that really says that Texas A&M is a better job than Penn State. So it would have to be a whole lot of cash, which we know that Texas A&M can produce. And sometimes money talks, but I find it just interesting, and I always go back to this, and I know you do too, Todd. This was James Franklin 2 years ago who we were talking about possibly losing his job, and what has saved him is the revamped offense. I want to see what he looks like without Joe Moorhead before I want to sign him on as a coach anywhere, because I still can't forget what that offense looked like in the last 2 years of Christian Hackenberg. They're awful.
Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, who made an ass out of himself during the rhabdomyolysis outbreak in Iowa City several years ago when he was talking about mass transfers, and that was going to be the end for Kirk Ferentz, and we all know that none of that came to fruition. But he's sort of the first person out there pushing that Texas A&M. Well, I'm sure Texas A&M would like a lot of guys if they ultimately decide to part ways with Kevin Sumlin, but Franklin just got a $20 million contract extension. And as the Land of 10 article points out on the Penn State website for Land of 10, maybe you make this move 3 years ago. 2014, Texas A&M's program was probably in better shape than Penn State's, clearly because of the wake of the Sandusky scandal, which really should be referred to, in my opinion, as the Paterno and Sandusky scandal. But that's just me. But I don't know. It just seems to be making a story where there is none at this point. If I'm James Franklin, I'm a little upset that this is even getting kicked around out there. I'd be on the phone with Dennis Dodd saying, hey, come on. You're doing me wrong here.
Well, this happens with every job opening. I don't know where I am with this, because I'm sure that Texas A&M is going to call Florida State and see if Jimbo Fisher wants to be their next head coach, assuming Kevin Sumlin gets fired. And they'll call Alabama and see if Nick Saban wants to be their coach. I mean, these calls go on all the time, because the worst thing that somebody could say is no. So I don't know. I'm sure that Texas A&M will try to make a run at James Franklin. The question is, will there really be any interest from Franklin? That's the second part of this story. And if there is, then it becomes a story. Right now, it's just a rumor, and there's not much to it at this point.
The CBS story says that Sumlin's contract, which was a six-year, $30 million deal that he signed in late 2013, is reportedly guaranteed for the remainder of his contract if he's fired without cause. So they'd have to make the decision to bite the bullet there and pay him a lot of money to move on. But if they can pay Sumlin to move on, six-year contract, 2013, so we're looking at a couple years, at least 3 years remaining on his deal. If they can pay him that money, they can find the money to make a run. Now, making a run at somebody, look, you were single, you probably made a run at some pretty good-looking girls back in the day, guys, right? And didn't necessarily mean that you got anywhere. So more power to Texas A&M here if they want to quote-unquote make a run at James Franklin if they're firing Kevin Sumlin anytime soon. But odds are they don't wind up with James Franklin. They wind up with somebody else. And, of course, maybe they'll wind up having a big house and a couple kids and a dog, and they'll look back on their younger years and they'll realize, James Franklin would have been nice, but they're just happy and content where they are.
That brings up one of the more hilarious tweets that I'd seen in a while. I don't know why that completely took me back to this tweet, but years ago, Colorado was looking to make a coaching change. They were in on Butch Jones, and apparently sources said they were making a run at Dan Mullen at Mississippi State. And so Kyle Ringo of the Daily Camera in Boulder tweeted, "The Colorado Athletic Department will be making a run at Mississippi State's Dan Mullen, but sources say Dan Mullen just wants to be friends."
If you were Arkansas, would you leave the SEC for the Big 12?
No.
You'd probably have better... No, I...
They've this had is a no-win, success before.
It's a no-win argument, but I'm about to say that you could probably have better success long-term in the Big 12 than you could in the SEC, but that's anecdotal.
I don't know if they have the style of play to be in the Big 12. I don't think they score enough points. I don't think they run the right type of... They'd have to change everything to be able to play that... To score enough to compete in the Big 12, which would mean they would need a new coach. They need a couple of years to instill that offense. And I don't think it's a good fit.
5:51, we're going to step aside and take a quick break. Just over an hour away from first pitch at Nationals Park as the Cubs and Washington play game 5 of the NLDS, the last remaining divisional series game to be played before the league championship series starts. You've got the Yankees and the Astros in the American League and the Los Angeles Dodgers. just waiting for an opponent. Will it be the Cubs? That's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, sponsored by Emil's Hideaway. Check them out on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Big board update on the way and more. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Honda's introducing a new word, Summerbration. Use it as a noun, like, I picked up a 2017 Civic with 0.9% APR at the Honda Summerbration sales event. Or a verb, I'm Summerbrating with KBB.com's Best Buy Overall winner. Start your Summerbration today at your Honda dealer.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
For more information, visit Kelly Blue Books, KBB.com. APR financing offers available for well-qualified buyers. Offer excludes all hatchback models and Civic SIC dealer for financing details.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
5:54. Boy, it seems like tonight's show has gone by fast. It must mean Christmas is right around the corner. Welcome back in. Well, how's the poll going over there, Alex?
Actually, through about an hour, with 23 hours left, 77% say no, and what is the biggest landslide victory for me in the history of Twitter polls?
Come on. Yeah, well, yeah, this is the first one that you've ever put up.
Well, that's true, but...
And trust me, because I remember 90 seconds of NASCAR with Jeremiah Davis very well, Twitter polls can take a turn for the worse. Not that I'm saying I don't like 90 seconds of NASCAR, and big thank you to Jeremiah for joining us earlier in the week to talk about Landon Castle, but there was one point in time where I thought I had that in the bag. There was no way we were going to have people voting to hear 90 seconds of NASCAR, and then the poll voting closed, and... Jeremiah and his Russian pals or whoever it was wound up, they stuffed the ballot box, and now we're talking 90 seconds of NASCAR with
him. He retweeted it, and then...
Yeah, he got his racing people.
Then he got his racing people.
Midwest One Bank would like you to know they've got over 40 locations across the corridor for all of your banking needs. They'd also like you to know that Kyle Mann's here, ready to give you another big board update.
The University of Iowa put the finishing touches on its schedule for the 2020 football season and announced today the addition of a game with Northern Iowa. The Hawkeyes will open the season hosting the Panthers at Kinnick on September 5th, will host Iowa State the following week, and will have their first conference game in Week 3 at Minnesota. The Iowa baseball team is playing the Black and Gold World Series yesterday, today, and potentially tomorrow if a Game 3 is necessary. The Black team took Game 1 last night 3-2 thanks largely to five pitchers combining for a no-hitter. They did, however, find time to issue 10 walks, which, for reference, would tie the Major League record for most walks in a no-hitter. They're playing Game 2 right now at Duane Banks Field. An injury update from Ames. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell says that linebacker Willie Harvey is somewhere between questionable and probable for Saturday's game against Kansas. Harvey's fifth on the team with 31 tackles and tied for second with 2.5 sacks and one pick. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Thursday Night Football between the Eagles and Panthers. That's on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. More importantly, we're going to have the win or die game five between the Cubs and Nationals in Washington. The Cubs will throw Kyle Hendricks, who threw seven scoreless innings in a game one victory, and the Nationals start Gio Gonzalez, who gave up three runs in five innings in game two. You can hear that right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
8477 on the Hurtine and Stocker text line says 77% of Twitter pollers are in denial.
What are we denying? I enjoy that time of year, but I just don't think that it is that time of year.
That's what they are in denial of. That you don't have to necessarily like the fact that Christmas is right around the corner.
Like the season.
I love
though.
Halloween. I love Thanksgiving, but Christmas is right around the corner.
Halloween and Thanksgiving are great. Christmas is great, but it's not necessarily right around the corner.
There was one texter who wrote in and said that Christmas is in the 12th month. We are halfway through the 10th, and so kind of if you're looking at that 11th as the corner, like it is technically right around the corner.
We have Woodja on the way after this. Also an opportunity for you to enjoy Hawkeye football at Kinnick Stadium, even though the Hawkeyes will be on the road. We'll tell you a little bit more when we return.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Smooth out a rough engine, restore power, and improve fuel economy with Seafoam Motor Treatment. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and purchase two bottles of Seafoam Motor Treatment and get one free. Plus, earn double points.